time we want Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 5.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
The washing of regeneration. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. May I just throw out here while two passages. Do not express themselves in the same way. The passage of Titus chapter 3 verse 3 through 5 and the passage of St. John chapter 3 verse 5 are both teaching the same subject on the very same point. In both of these passages, we are informed that when we become Christian, baptism involves two elements, both passages. In Titus, the inspired Apostle Paul, yes, Paul is the one who wrote the book of Titus to Titus. But in this book, the inspired writer Paul informs us that God saves us by baptism. I think I need to repeat that. You see, baptism has been tossed to and from, here and there. We are told that baptism is an outward show of an inner grace. We are told that baptism... Wait. I'm not saying that's what the writer says. I talk about what we hear out there. You hear out there that baptism is an outward show of an inner grace. We are also hear out there that baptism is purely symbolic. But in the passage and in this lesson, we are going to learn that baptism is no outward grace, outward symbol of inner grace. And that baptism is not symbolic. So in the passage of Titus, Paul informs us that God saved us by baptism and that baptism involves two elements. They can be considered complementary element because the two elements complement each other in our salvation. Let me just throw some passage here that are on the same point. We will not read these passages because in many cases wanting to acquaint you with the many witnesses from scripture which testify on any subject Sometimes it consumes so much time in my lesson. So Titus is one of the passages that deals with that. That is Titus chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5 is another passage that is on the same point. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 38 is another passage on the very same point. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 is another passage that is on the same point. And while Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, left out one of the element, it is on the same point. These are passages which not only emphasize the importance and the necessity of baptism in man's salvation. That is all the five or six passages that I have just mentioned. All five of them are emphasizing how God used baptism in our salvation and teaching that baptism is necessary to man's salvation. But not only baptism, all of these passages, except one, and that is the passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. All these passages is pointing out to us that baptism is not the only, or water in baptism is not the only element in our salvation, but the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we miss that the Holy Spirit becomes one of the reality or element in our salvation. You notice that in the book of Titus, let us hear it again. Let us hear the passage again. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
You notice, Chad, it's not just baptism that comes up, the washing of regeneration. We'll be looking on that. The fact that the word regeneration is made up, it's two words making up the one word. But he mentioned the washing of regeneration that is referring to baptism and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Look now in St. John chapter 3, verse 5.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit.
Chad, you notice we born not only of water, but we are born also of the Holy Spirit. That's the other element in our salvation as we become Christian. Not just water, but the Holy Spirit. Those are the two elements, and we will be looking further. In the book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 5, the requirement or the conditions stated by Jesus Christ and carries that is the book of St. John, carries the same two elements. Jesus Christ was actually making a demand on this ruler of the Jews that came to Jesus Christ by night, that is Nicodemus. When Jesus Christ spoke there in St. John that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, Jesus Christ was not giving Nicodemus something optional. Christ was not saying to Nicodemus, yes, Nicodemus, you have the choice of going this route or choosing some other route. No. Jesus Christ was making a demand on this ruler, implying that Nicodemus must forsake all the reliance upon the law of Moses. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus did not accept baptism. In fact, let me, because a lot of time we miss out on the fact that this ruler who came to Jesus Christ by night had, well, probably I need to back up a little more, that most of the disciples, most of the men who became disciples of Jesus Christ, they were previously disciples of John and had to accept John's baptism. That's right. But the Pharisees, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. They outrightly rejected the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. They did. All the Pharisees rejected that. And I say that to help us to get a little deeper into the character of Nicodemus. Let us hear a little about Nicodemus and the Pharisees in respect to the teaching and baptism from Christ or from John. Look at the passage of Luke chapter 7, verse 29 through verse 30. Read for us. Luke chapter 7.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John.
Brother Chad, it's striking that Luke mentioned the publicans. They were considered among the worst of sinners. You know why? They were the tax collector. They were the ones who saw to it that you pay what you are to pay to the Roman government. And there are two considerations that was against the tax collector. They were representative of the Roman government, a Gentile ruler. And secondly, they exploited the collection of tax, because the more they collected is the more they get. So the Jews hated them and considered them the worst of sinners. But strikingly, these were the people who responded to the teachings of Christ and of John. So start again, brother.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God,
mm-hmm.
being baptized with the baptism of John.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him.
You hear? They rejected the counsel of God. And the writer Luke is telling us that especially in the area of baptism. Now, what the brothers just read in verse 30 is all about men like Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee and one of the rulers of the Jews. I'm tempted to go to the passage of Luke 7, John 7 rather, to let you know more about, but we will not. Suffice it for me to pick up on the fact that Jesus Christ was making a demand. When Jesus Christ spoke there in John chapter 3, verse 5, when he told Nicodemus, you must, did I say must? Yes, imperative. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. In effect, Jesus Christ was saying to Nicodemus, you must forsake all the reliance that you have maintained upon the law of Moses. Because as a Pharisee, that was where they put their reliance. On the law of Moses, Jesus Christ was saying, you must put aside the law of Moses, your reliance on that, your reliance on the elaborate ritual and tradition of the Pharisees, and you are to enter up on a new, totally new way of life. In order not just to enter the kingdom, to see the kingdom. Jesus Christ was making this challenge to this ruler of the Jews. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what is striking in both John and Luke, the twin element is spoken about. That is the element of water and the element of the Holy Spirit in both passages. Wait. But the passages are not speaking about two births. Very important that when he said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That is not two births. It's one involving two elements. Watch here now. Well, let me pick up on this. As I said, most of us who have been around listening to people speak about baptism and making out of it what they want instead of what God put baptism here for. I've just stated that both in John chapter 3 and in chapter 3, the two elements do not represent two births, but one birth with two elements. Now, we have been told that baptism is an outward sign of an inner grace. And, you know, that may sound nice. But ladies and gentlemen, that is religious rubbish. That baptism is an outward sign of an inner grace. Brothers and sisters, you cannot have either inner or outer grace in a spiritual way until after you have responded to God's word in humility and obedience. To give men and women the idea that baptism is only there to show something which you have inside. You see, baptism, you engage in it to show what you have inside. You do not have anything inside from God spiritually in respect to your salvation until after you have been baptized. God's grace comes to us through obedience, or at least the desire, the step toward obeying Jesus Christ. There is no inward grace without believing, repenting, confessing Jesus Christ's name and getting baptized. There is no inward grace until after faith, repentance, and confession and baptism. So don't let anybody come with some sweet phrase and misguide you, mislead you. Being baptized, are we all there? Being baptized is being born of the water and receiving the Holy Spirit is being born of the Spirit. And that is how the two elements or the two realities come together in your salvation and my salvation. You notice that the same thing, watch here, the same thing is taught in John chapter 3, verse 5, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and watch here now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. All three passages, they are all emphasizing the two elements that are involved in our salvation. Notice this one. The brothers just read it. That except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. John 3. Notice Titus. Let us hear Titus chapter 3, verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy.
Wait, Chad. You know, because I may forget to point this out. This passage of Titus is not only telling us how we are saved. You notice it's also telling us how we are not saved. How we cannot be saved. We cannot be saved man's way. or by that which man has invented. Brother Mitchell, I didn't see anything like that in Titus. Read, brother, verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
You get it? Don't go out there doing some things that you like and tell yourself, God must save me. And no. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done.
But according to his mercy.
But according to his mercy.
He saved us.
He saved us.
By the washing of regeneration.
Uh-huh.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Everybody get that? So here we have John chapter 3 verse 5. Tells us that water is involved in our salvation. And the Holy Spirit is also involved in our initial salvation. Here Titus is telling us the same thing. That water is involved in our salvation. And the Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation. But here again, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 38.
Then Peter said, repent.
Repent.
And be baptized.
And be baptized.
Every one of you.
Uh-huh.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
For the remission of sins.
Uh-huh.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
You notice in all three passages, water and the Holy Spirit as a gift is involved in our initial salvation. In all three passages. Are we all there? So, being baptized is being born of the water. Receiving the Holy Ghost is being born of the Spirit. But watch here now. Watch Paul again in Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Paul speaks of baptism as God's means. That's important. Because I'm about to tell you that baptism is not a work of man. That's right. What you're about to tell us. Baptism is not a work of man. Listen, Titus again, where he's going to tell us that baptism is God's work, is God's means. Read.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration.
Well, okay, this is how God saved us. It is God's work. By and God applies, demand the washing of regeneration
and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Watch here. Even though in Titus we have God doing his part, and we have the prospective convert doing his or her part, it is still God's work, God's means, not man. It is the means by which the grace, the mercy, and the wisdom of God. Are we all there? Display itself in our salvation. Baptism is not man's mean or man's work. Have you ever noticed that nowhere in the gospel has any man or woman has ever been commanded to go and baptize yourself? I wonder if we have been reading that in the Bible and don't realize. Let me put it. No man or woman was ever asked to go and baptize yourself. Let me turn it around. In all the command to be baptized in the Bible, it always involves go and get this done for you. Nobody baptized him or herself. You cannot. I cannot baptize myself. Somebody has to baptize me. So even in getting baptized, what happened is that we respond to Christ's command to get ourselves baptized. It is usually something that somebody else does for us. We do not baptize ourselves, but we submit ourselves to baptism because Jesus Christ commands it. No man or woman ever baptized him or herself. Because you cannot. If you want to go and check all the commands in the Bible about getting baptized and come back tonight to point out where I'm going wrong. In fact, you can start with the baptism of the Red Sea with Moses and the children of Israel. It was performed in a sense by Moses under the Almighty God. No man or woman ever did or commanded to baptize himself. We are commanded to get it done, meaning somebody has to do it for us. Wait. Brother Mitchell, as I've always thought that going and dipping in the water is baptism. In every case, and I'm challenging you, in every case of baptism, it had to be performed by somebody else, and that was the command involved. It involved you obeying Christ's command to be baptized by having somebody baptize you. And this is one way in which it's not a work of man. In the history of Christianity, every true baptism was the work of the Almighty God. And that's what, listen, Titus again, Chad. Every true baptism was the work of the Almighty God.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's God's work. That's God's means. Baptism is God's means. Baptism is God's work. God command that the penitent believer get it done. get it done for him or her. In baptism, there is man's part that man submit to, and God's part. When any man or woman get baptized, that person is submitting to God's demand or command. You bring yourself under the government, under the guidance, the command of Jesus Christ to get something done that Christ require. Somebody does it for you. But God does his part. The penitent believer must submit to baptism. That's his part. God's part is giving you the Holy Spirit. And in closing, and contrary to what we have often been told, that baptism is not a mere symbol. In Titus, we are told that the Almighty God saved us by means of the bath God save us by means of the bath means of the bath or washing of regeneration. The word used there, and you can check many of your Bible with the various translation. When Titus says that he save us by means of the regeneration of baptism, some translation do have bath. Some translation have washing of regeneration. But I close with the word regeneration is two words making up one. The first part of the word is palin. The original Greek word, P-A-L-I-N, meaning again or back again. We're looking at the word regeneration. It's not a complicated word. It's a simple word made up of two words. The first part of it is palin, meaning again or back again. And the other part of the word is Genesis. Like the book, the word Genesis in Greek means beginning. In the context of Titus, it means creation or regeneration. The word begotten is from this word. The word born again is the same word, regeneration. And that's all it means, to be born over, to be born a second time. Our first birth was biological. But when, having been contaminated by sin, and Jesus Christ wants to bring the new man or woman about, we have to submit to Christ's condition. Hear, believe, repent, and get baptized, thereby being born of the water and of the Spirit. We are begotten by God. Have you ever noticed that it is to the command of water baptism? What did I say? To the command of water baptism alone. Is to that command alone is conjoined the sacred triple name, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go and search the New Testament to see if there is any other command like this, where the three person in the Godhead has been conjoined like that. You must be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. While in the gospel you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but to conjoin in a command to be carried out by man in that fashion, only in baptism you have that. Today you can submit to this great command of Jesus Christ, that once you recognize your sinful condition and state, once you acknowledge the importance of being baptized in water for the removal of your sin, you will want to obey the command of Jesus Christ to repent and to get baptized. Why? For the removal of your sin. Because it is in that act of obedience, it is through that process, that the Almighty God will get rid of all your past sins and bring about that new person, that born again, involving the water and the Holy Spirit. Today you can respond to Jesus Christ. Do you have questions? Do you have clarification you're seeking? Oh my God, we are here to help you. We will sit down with you and talk with you. But what we want to leave with you is that you must be baptized for the remission of sin, to bring about that new man, that new woman, to deal with all the sins you have committed in the past. Water going to play its part. The Holy Spirit going to play its part. And you know what? It is the Almighty God who going to employ those two elements. One involving water, the other involving the Holy Spirit. It's not two baptism or two birth, one birth involving the two elements. You can submit to the will of Jesus Christ this morning as we stand and sing a song to the glory and honor of God.